We begin the current daf Masechtas Kedushin daf Mem Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of daf Vav Mem Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, we have in the Mishnah daf Mem Vav Mem Aleph, we had three different cases the Mishnah described. First one spoke about if someone says to a woman the term Hiskachi by every single date that he was giving her, Hiskachli b'tamar zu, Hiskachli b'zu. So as the Gemara explained, is going like the opinion of Reb Shimon, who says that every time you say Hiskachi, he's going to create a separate kedushin. So the Mishnah said, if any one of those dates is worth a Shava Pruta, then she's engaged. If not, not. You can't go with the sum total because each one is a separate act of kedushin. That was the first case of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah said, if let's say you say Hiskachi, bazu, 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 you just said one time the word Hiskachi, and then you say for each one, with this one, with this one, with this one. So then the Mishnah said, if there's a Shava Pruta in the sum total of all of the dates, that enough will be for Kedushin because it's one big act of Kedushin. Now then the Mishnah concluded and said, if Haisai Cheles Rishayna Rishayna, but if she was eating each date as it was coming to her, she ate it before the next one came and then she got the next one and so on, then the Mishnah concluded, Einem Mekudeshes Achei Ba'achas Men Shava Pruta. Then she's not engaged until at least one of them is worth a Shava Pruta. Now on that the Gemara asked, there's the first case, the second case, and then the third case is qualifying one of those two cases. So the Gemara asked, which one is that going on? And that is, if it's going on the Reisha, what's the chiddush of that halacha of saying if she ate it up, then there has to be at least in each one, meaning one of them has to be at least a Shava Pruta in its own right, not combination of the rest. If it's the Reisha, even if it's what's called Manachas, even if it wasn't eaten, it would still have to be worth a Shava Pruta, at least one of them, because each one was a separate kedushin. He said Hiskachi. And if it's going on the Seifa, meaning on the second case, then it sounds like that, okay, as long as one of them is worth a Shava Pruta, then that's going to create a kedushin. The problem is, the word afila achasmen sounds like even if it's one of the first ones. Now the problem is, if she's eating each one as it's coming along, and since bazu, bazu, bazu is making it one big kedushin, that means the kedushin wasn't until he finally gave the last date. By the time he gives the last date and the kedushin has to happen, the first one that was already eaten, that's what's called a milva. And you know you cannot create a kedushin with a milva. So how do we understand it going on the second case? So the Gemara brought that it was Machlekes Amiram, how to interpret if it's going in the first case or the second case. Rav and Shmuel, they both said it's actually going on the Reisha. So why do you have to say Eicheles if it, even Manachas, even if it's still there, it would still only work if at least one of them has its worth of a Shava Pruta? So the Gemara said, Vlei Mebaya. In other words, yes, Manachas, we understand, since each one was a separate Kedushin, each one, at least that one, any one of them would have to be worth a Shava Pruta on its own right. But you would think that's only when it's there. But when she eats it, since it's Mekar V'Hanayasa, she's enjoying it, she's getting pleasure out of it, you would think that actually she's Mekadosh herself, even if it wouldn't be worth a Shava Pruta. That's Kamash Malan. That's what the Seifa of the Mishnah was saying. The third case was qualifying it, saying that even when she eats it, it still has to be worth. A woman's not Mekadosh herself unless it's worth a Shava Pruta. Now, Rabami, he said it's actually going on the Seifa on the second case. Now, and he qualifies when the Mishnah says, in the third case, Achei ba'achas men Shava Pruta, it's only going to work if at least in one of them it's going to be worth a Shava Pruta. It doesn't mean any one of them. It doesn't mean one from the first ones. Because as we said, that's going to be a milva already because it was already consumed. She owes him that money because it wasn't hers yet for it to be kedushin until all the way at the end. Because he said that this should be a kedushin for you with this one, with this one, with this one. And as he's giving her and he's saying this, he hasn't yet finished his kedushin. He's saying, your kedushin is going to be with this one, and she's eating it before he even finishes his statement. So then, for sure, it's going to be a milva, and you cannot create a kedushin with a milva. So when it says in the Mishnah, Achei ba'achas men shava pruta, means Achei hei ba'achroin shava pruta. It means the last one, because the last one, when he's giving it to her, that's when he finishes. And with this one, and he finishes the kedushin, and then she gets that one, and then she eats it. That is already, if that one's worth a Shava Pruta, that was when the Kedushin was finished, that's not a Milva, that's what the Mishnah was saying. As long as the last one is worth a Shava Pruta, that's going to create a Kedushin. So that was the Machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbami. Now, on that the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi. Rabbi qualifies this halacha of Rabbami, who said that the third halacha of the Mishnah was qualifying the second halacha of the Mishnah, that it's only going to be if the last one is worth a Shava Pruta. So as we continue on top of Menzayin and Aleph, he says, Loi shanu, we didn't learn this halacha that when she's eating them one by one, they're not going to combine to be worth a Shava Pruta. It has to be that the last one has to be worth a Shava Pruta in its own right. Says Rava, that's Ela de Amala Bezu u Bezu u Bezu. That's only if it's as it's said in our Mishnah, where he didn't yet finish his statement of Kedushin. And hence, her kinyan of Kedushin, the acquisition of those dates is only when he gives her the last one, because that's when he finished his statement. He had a pile of 20 dates, and he says, you know what? I really like you. Let's get married. Let's get engaged. I want to be mekadesh you here with this date, and he gives it to her, and she eats it, and with this date, and she eats it, and with this date, and he hasn't yet finished the kedushin. So therefore, those first dates that she ate wasn't hers yet. It wasn't a kedushin. It becomes hers when he gives her, which is what kedushin is. He gives her something, which is for her to create a kedushin. But he hasn't finished it yet. So therefore, it's something that she ate up. How'd you get to eat it? That you owe him now. It's a milva that she owes him. So in that type of a case where he hasn't yet finished his statement, that's where we're going to say that it has to be only the last one, but not from the first ones. Aval amala be'elu. But if, let's say, he said, I want to be, he had a pile of 20 dates, and he says, I want to engage you with these dates. Now, from the moment that he gives her the first date, that's, and she eats it, that's not a milva, because he already concluded his statement, even though he hasn't yet given her all the dates, but the halacha of kedushin has already started, so therefore, afilo ichelas, even if she eats them one by one, nami mukudashes, she's also going to be engaged, if even in the sum total, there is going to be a shava pruta, even if any one of them doesn't have a shava pruta. The reason being, says Rav, is ki ka'achla, because when she's eating now, in this case, midenafsha ka'achla, she's eating her own stuff, because the kedushin said, he finished his statement. So now, as he's giving her, this is the dates of kedushin that he's giving you. So she's eating it one by one. Fine, eat it however you want to. I'm just giving you the dates that I promised you already, and I already did the kedushin. Because he said, not bezu, ubezu, bezu, which was coming one by one as she was eating them, which that wasn't finished until he finished his statement, which was already by the last date. Here it's Toma where he said already, I want to be kedushu be'elu with these. And then he started giving her. So this was already kedushin, not milva. And therefore it says Rava, then they could combine, even though she's eating it, doesn't make a difference because he's giving it to her. And if they all combine to Shava Pruta, that's going to be a valid Kiddush. Says Gemara, Tanik Avosei the Rava, we have a Braisa that supports Rava's interpretation. The Braisa says as follows, Hiskachi li ba'olin, if a man tells a woman, I want you to be engaged to me with this acorn, which Rashi says is some type of food for a wild hog, and he says sometimes people eat it and they roast it on fire like they do with Armainim. Or he says, I want you to get engaged to me berimain with a pomegranate, or be'egais with a nut. Or instead of specifying the acorn, the pomegranate, the nut, he says, I want you to be engaged to me with these. Says the Braisa, if they're all worth the shavaprutim together, then she's engaged. But if not, she's not engaged. Now, bezu, ubezu, ubezu. Let's say he tells her, I want you to get engaged to me with this one, and with this one. So also, im yesh bukulin shava pruta mukadeshes, if all of them together are worth a shava pruta, then she's engaged. Vimlav ein mukadeshes, if not, she's not engaged. Now, Rashi addresses that why these two different cases were split into a resha and a mitziyasa, because if both of them, the halacha is the same, whether you said ba'olin, barimun, ba'egiz, or if you said elu, or if you said bezu, 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 it says that im yesh bukulin, they both have the same halacha. If they all have together a worth of shavu pruta, she's going to be engaged. So why is it split up in two different halachas? So that's because, as we'll shortly see, because by the second case, what we call the mitziyasa, there's going to be a difference between oicheles, if she eats, and manachas, if it wasn't eaten yet, which is the next halacha we're going to see. And therefore, that's why it's split up into two different halachas, although in this part already, they were still the same halacha. Now, on that continues the braisa. Let's say he says bezu with this one, and not lasa b'achlasa, and she takes it and she eats it. Then he says bezu with this one, the next one, and not lasa b'achlasa, she takes it and she eats it. V'oid bezu, v'oid bezu, and also this one, and also this one. And every time he says, and with this one I want to engage you with, she ate it before he got onto the next one. Says the braisa, in the mukadeshes, then she's not going to be engaged if they're all the sum total a shava pruta. Atshehi ba'achas men shava pruta, until that one of them has to be worth in its own right a shava pruta. That's the braisa. Now, says the Gemara in proof of Rava, Hai ba'olin barimoy be'egois hechadami, the first case of the braisa, when he says to a woman, I want you to be engaged to me with this acorn, with the pomegranate, and with this nut, what's the case talking about? As the Gemara explains, if you would say it's talking about where he tells her, oy ba'alin, oy barimin, oy be'egois, meaning it's either one, meaning I want you to engage to me either with this acorn, or with this pomegranate, or with this nut. Now, that's untenable, because im yesh bukulin shava prutim mukadeshes, the braisa says that the halacha is in that case, if they're all together worth a shava prutim, she's going to be engaged. Now, the difficulty is, well, oy kama, but he says, or, meaning each one is its own kedushin, how can you say that if he gives her all of them, it's the sum total? Seva Ella, rather says the Gemara, must be, Ba'olin uberimen ube'egos. It's told me that he's saying not either or, it's that I want you to engage me with the acorn and the pomegranate and the nut. So that's where the halacha is going to be. If they're all together, worth a shava pruta, since they're one act of kedushin, then it's going to be a kedushin. Now, that's difficult, because hainu bezu ubezu ubezu. Well, then that's the second case of the Braisa, where he says, I want you to get engaged to me with this one, and this one. What's the difference if they have this or the name of the object itself? It's the same halacha. Then why would it say it twice? Elolav, the amalaba elu must be, says the Gemara, that the first case of when he says with the acorn, the pomegranate, the nut, he didn't specify this one, because that's the same as bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. Rather, it's when you had the acorn and the pomegranate and the nut in front of him, and he says, I want you to get engaged me with this. And that's what the halacha of the price is saying, that they're all going to combine together to be worth a shava prut. Now, first the Gemara asks on that, but how can you say it's tuma be'elu, hamigtani seifa, but the next part of that, the end of that, the ratio of the price says, either it says, I want you to get engaged me with ba'ol and barim and the egg is the case that we're discussing, then the Brai says explicitly, or he says, I want you to get me with this, with these. Obviously, the Reisha is not talking about with these, because it says right then, the next case is with these. So how do we understand? It can't be with this, with this, with this, because then that's the middle case of the Braisa. Can't be be'elu, because that's the end of the Reisha's case, which says, or he says, I want you to get me with these. So then the Gemara says, no. Perusha kamefarish. The Reisha, which seems like two cases, actually one case, is just explaining. It says, Hiskachli ba'olin barim and be'egiz, that if a man says to a woman, I want you to get engaged to me with the acorn, the pomegranate, and the nut, and that explains the Braisa. Ketzad, what is the case that we're discussing when he wants to engage her with these three items? Kugin to Omar lo Hiskachli be'elu, where he tells her, I want you to get engaged to me with these. And he doesn't specify this and this and this. So that's the case of the Reisha. When they're all combined together to be a Shavu Pruta, it'll be a Kedushin. Now, this Gemara concludes the proof to Rava. Now, Uktani Seif. We learned in the third halacha of the Braisa, where again, the first case was, as we're describing now, is Be'elu. Then there was Bezu, 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 where again, both of those have the same halacha, that if they combine to be a Shavu Pruta, it's going to be Kedushin. But then there's the third halacha of the Braisa, which we're calling the Seif, which says as follows. Bezu, if he says with this one, and then, before he gets a chance to say bezu, not loss of achlasa, she goes, takes it, and eats that one. Now, then it says, and then bezu achelas, and so on. Says the Braisa, emesh ba'achas men shava pruta mukudashas. Then it has to be, if each one on its own right, if any one of them is going to be worth a shava pruta, then at least there's going to be one of them that will create a kedushin. But vimlav ain't the mukudashas. And that says the Braisa, but if not, then you're not going to be able to combine them together, because she ate them, and it's not going to be a kedushin. Now, says the Gemara, the Ilu Reisha, but regarding the Reisha, that's regarding the Braisa's third halacha, is seemingly going on the Braisa's second halacha, because it's going in the case of bezu, 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 when you're splitting them up, and then she goes and eats it up before you get to the next bezu. That's where we're saying they're not going to combine. But the Ilu Reisha, regarding the case of the Reisha, when he said be'elu with these, the Braisa does not differentiate that there's any difference between when it's just laying there, or if she eats it one after another. Shema Menos says the Gemara, you can infer from there, it's called Heicha de Amalo Be'elu. Whenever he tells her with these, even if let's say there's 20 different dates, and Keiko, which is as we explained the case of the Reisha, as we said that it's Perisha Kamefarish, it's talking about with these, with the acorn, with the nut, and the pomegranate, that Kika Achal, that when she eats from it, and even though he didn't finish giving her, let's say, all the dates, Menafsha Ka'achal, she's eating from her own dates. And that's why the halacha is going to be that they're going to combine, because even though by the time he got to her, the last date, she had already eaten up the first dates, it doesn't make a difference. It's still going to combine because it was all part of her kedushin, and he gave her a kedushin of a sum total of a shava pruta, shema minos. So the Gemara says from here, you can infer, like Rava, that they're going to be mitzaref, even though she ate them up before she got to the last one, because he already finished his statement, be'elu, before she even started eating, in contrast to the halacha of Reb Ami, the way he describes our Mishnah, where, yeah, they're not going to combine because each one is not finished yet. Of the kedushin only finishes at the end because he's still saying bezu, bezu, bezu. So he hasn't yet finished the kedushin, and by that point, the first one's already finished. That's why they're milva, and they wouldn't be able to combine to create a kedushin of a shava pruta. Now, so regarding to this machlekes, Rav Shmuel on one hand and Rav Ami on the other hand, The Gemara continues now, and this is not going back on what Rava had said to ask on him. It's going back on the previous daf, where, again, as we had explained the third halacha of our Mishnah, which said, Hoisoi cheles, it said that if she was eating it one by one, so the Mishnah said, it's only going to be kedushin if at least one of them on its own right will be a shava pruta. Where, again, as we explained, that Rav Shmuel said that it's going back on the resha, which was the case of there was a separate nikta of kedushin by each and every separate date. And according to Rabbami, it was going on the Seifa, which, as we explained, was going on the last date. When it says, Yesh ba'achas men, it doesn't mean anyone. Then it has to mean the last one, because that's when the Kedushin is finished, when you say, Bezu, Ubezu, Ubezu. Sasso Gemara continues and says, Ha'nich l'mando ama. So now, based on their machlekes in our Mishnah, we're going to transpose that to the interpretation of this price that we were just discussing now, that the Gemara brought to support Rava. So Hanich Lamandama, this is very good according to Rabbi Ami, that he explained when our Mishnah said the same type of halacha of Hoysa Echelas, that is, it was Asefa Koi, was going on the second halacha of our Mishnah, which was a klola. It was a general type of a statement of when there was only one Hiskachi, where he said Hiskachi, Bezu, 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 where, so therefore it's one big Kedushin. That was where Rabbi Ami had said that's the halacha of the Seifa of Echelas was going on that case, and he had explained, and he said, so what does it mean until one of them is worth a shavapruta? Seemingly that can't be the first few, because those are already gone by the time he finishes, and the kedushin only happens when he finishes the last bezu, and by that point she had already eaten up the first dates. So he said, it means that she ba'achroin the shavapruta, because the first ones were already milva. It cannot be mekadesh with alone. You have to be actually giving something. So he said, it means until, if the last one is worth a shavapruta, that's when he's actually finished the statement of the Kedushin, and she hasn't yet eaten that, if that one's worth a shava pruta, that's going to create a Kedushin. So says the Gemara, according to Rav Ami's interpretation, sahachinami. So here also we could explain when the Braisa talks about the same type of a case of Hoysa Echeles, that it's also going, as we see, that's the case that the Braisa is discussing, that it's going in the same type of a general one big global Kedushin, because it's going in the case of Bezu Bezu. Which we're saying that that's what the second case of this Bryce was saying. And Yesh Bukulan Shava Pruta, the Bryce said if all of them together with a Shava Pruta, it's going to create a Kedushin. And then the Bryce then says, which is the third aloch of this Bryce, to differentiate between if it was Manachas, if it was still there, then they could combine. But if she was not lost of Achlas, if she took them and she ate them, then they cannot create a Kedushin together. It's until it is Ba'achas Mehen. So what is Ba'achas Mehen? So according to Rabbi, you could explain, as he does in the Mishnah, you could say the same thing over here in the Braisa. It means, Achei Bachreina Shavapruta. It means until the last one is worth a Shavapruta. Because it can't be the first ones, because here also, Bezu, 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 if she ate it up before he finished the last Bezu, well, then the Kedushin has not happened. So what are you eating? You're not eating Kedushin dates, because it's not Kedushin until he finishes. It's a milva, you owe him that money. So you're right, that cannot be a Kedushin if that one has a Shavapruta. Ba'achazmen would mean Ba'achreina, the last one. So that would make sense according to Rabbi. But El Rav Shmuel Damer Tavai, but according to Rav Shmuel, that they both say, Aresha Koi, that in our Mishnah, when it said Ba'achas Mehen, it was going even on one of the first ones. Because they learned it was going on the halacha of the Resha, which the Resha was when he says on each date separately, Hiskachi, Hiskachi, Hiskachi. Now, they had interpreted, so then, what do you need Va'echelas for? Vaichelis is, what do you mean? If even when it's still there, each one has to be worth a Shava Pruta, because it's Sebe Kedushin, what's the point of Vaichelis? So that is, we explained in the previous stuff, Vaichelis Itzrochalei, they said that it was necessary to say that Chidush of Vaichelis, which was to say that even if she's enjoying it right now, you would think, okay, it's not worth a Shava Pruta, but she likes it and she'll be Makadish herself even less than the Shava Pruta. That's what the Mishnah had to be Makadish according to their interpretation, that no, a woman's not mekadesh herself less than a shava pruta, even if she's enjoying the dates date by date. Rather, it's a milva, and she owes that back to the man that's trying to engage her. But that's the chiddush, that at least has to be worth a shava pruta, any one of them. Now, so therefore, on that, as the Gemara, so then this, when it says in the Braisa, that if one of them, ba'achas mehen is a shava pruta, then she's going to be engaged, how could they explain? Because hacha over here by the Braisa, kaloli kachashiv, it's only talking about cases of a general kedushin and prati loyko chashiv. It doesn't have the same thing as the halacha of our Mishnah to say specific that each date is its own kedushin when you say iskachi, 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 iskachi. Because here, as we see clearly in the Braisa, that we're talking about a case of bezu, 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 which is one big kedushin. Now, for sure, we're as our Brisa said, even more than that, it said v'oid bezu, v'oid bezu, v'oid bezu, we're saying it as it's one long kedushin. I want to engage you with this, and with this, and with this, and with this. And on that is what the Brisa says, that when she's eating, that it's not going to be kedushin if to be worth a shavu pruta together, at shehi ba'achas, man, until there's at least one of them worth a shavu pruta. Now, the difficulty is that if the first one that she ate, that even on that one, we're saying that, like the way they interpret in our Mishnah, that ba'achas mehen means any one of them, it's going to be worth a shavu pruta, it's going to create a kedushin. But that's difficult because, as we said, as we had in the question in our Mishnah, that havalei milva, but it's a milva, because the kedushin doesn't end until you say the last bezeh. So in the Mishnah, they were able to explain and not have to say like Rabbami that ba'achas mehen means the last one. No, ba'achas mehen means any one of them. So they said it's going to the case of the Reisha, which, yes, each one was a separate kedushin. So then you could say that it was a kedushin before she ate it, because each one was a separate kedushin. Then when she ate it, that was that its kedushin. It doesn't have to wait till the end. But here, how are you going to explain their interpretation where there's no case of prati? There's no iskachi. It's a case of one long kedushin. So, but now you're stuck, according to their interpretation, seemingly Rav Avi's interpretation, but Achas Men, which means the last one, is the only valid interpretation over here. And what are you going to say, according to Rav and Shmuel, that they don't say Ba'achas Men means Ba'achrein, the last one? So the Gemara says, Hamani, according to Rav and Shmuel, they'll say, who's the Tana of the end of this Brisa? It's Rebbe. It's going like Rebbe. The Amma that he says, Loishna Kezayis Kezayis, it doesn't make a difference when you say something, when you're listing of things and you say Kezayis, 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 Veloshna Kezayis Ukezayis. And even Rebbe goes even so far, and he says, even if you say Kezayis and Kezayis, which would sound like that it's one long statement, still he holds, as we'll see so shortly, the context of that, Pratahava. It's actually specifics. They're all their own independent reality. Now, therefore, what Rav Shmuel would tell you is that this Sefer that talks about a case of Bezu and Natlasa Bachlasa, he says, let's say there's the acorn, there's the nut, there's the pomegranate, all these stuff. And he wants to engage her with all these stuff. And he says, hey, I want to engage you with, and he's looking around, with this pomegranate. And she takes and she eats it. And with this nut, and she takes and she eats it. And void bezu, also in this, and also in this. Says Rav Shmuel, that's a different Tana. It's not the Tana of the Reisha, which spoke about a case of when you say be'elu, which says that they could combine. And it's not the Tana of the Mitziyasa, who's also saying when you say bezu, 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 that they're all one big kedushin and they could combine. Because rather it's going like Rebbe. Now, if it's like Rebbe, which he holds that it's always considered separate, they're all separate statements. When you're saying bezu, 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 each bezu is its own thing. So then the question is, so why do you have to say a case of a cheles, which is essentially the same question that Rav Shmuel had in the way they interpreted our Mishnah. Same thing would be even by Manachas when it's laying over here, because even though you said bezu, 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 according to Rebbe, as we're saying, he holds each bezu is its own separate entity, and therefore its own kedushin. So then so the interpretation would be the same as our Mishnah, that he was saying an added chiddush of a cheles to say that even though what's called makarva niyasa, even though she ate it right away, and you would think, oh, she obviously likes this and she wants to engage through even if it's less than a shavu pruta, that's the chiddush of Rebbe in this third case of the Brisa, that's not going to be a kedushin because less than a shavu pruta. Now, but that's why the Tana of the Brisa said bezu bezu two times by the case of natlasa v'achlasa and also v'oid bezu, and it said that if there is in one of them going to be worth a shavu pruta, then it's going to be a kedushin because Rebbe holds his skachi. When you said it the first time, and then you said bezu, 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 it's actually going on every single one. It's as if you said hiskachi bezu, hiskachi bezu, v'oid bezu hiskachi, and so on. Because Rebbe holds they're all considered independent realities. Now, the source of this halacha of Rebbe is in Zvachim, the second perek, regarding someone that has a machshava of inappropriate thoughts by slaughtering a carbon, which that's called pigel. Now, there's different types of thoughts. The machshava of pigel has to be when you have karav matirav, when you have all the things of the processes are done appropriately besides that one thought of slaughtering it, let's say, out of its appropriate place. Now, Rebbe's opinion is whether if the person slaughtered it with the intention to eat a kezayis of it tomorrow, which is what pigel is, which is called chutz lezmanai, and then there's a thought of chutz lemekaymai. Now, although they're both inappropriate, chutz lezmanai, if you say you want to have it consumed or slaughter it do something inappropriate after the appropriate time, how long the carbon is allowed to be, that's ischayev karas. In contrast, the chutzlam kamei is not. So it's only if you have one machshava pigel generally that it's and everything else was done kosher, then it's going to be pigel. But if you did something else inappropriate, it would make it a carbon pasul, and therefore it wouldn't be pigel. It wouldn't have that qualification, and actually wouldn't have karas. So Rebbe's opinion is that whatever was said first, that will define the criterion, and it'll be pigel, and you'll be chayev karas, even though later you did something pasul. Now, moreover, what's added to this halacha is, it doesn't make a difference, according to Rebbe, whether he said he's slaughtering it with the intention to eat a kezias tomorrow, and without saying and, he says a kezias out of the appropriate place where you're allowed to, let's say out of Yerushalayim. Or whether he says a kezias tomorrow and a kezias bachutz, still we're considering them as two independent machshavas. That's related to what the Gemara is quoting over here, that Rebbe holds. It's always independent. Whether you say kezias, kezias, without the and, or even if you say and, which generally and makes it sound like it's a continuum, which you would think to say, okay, then this is one big thought, and if it's one big thought, then we can't say that you had machshavas chutzlas manoi before chutzlam kaima, and therefore it would be one big combination, and therefore not pigel, because then you wouldn't have a first. Again, Rebbe, that's Rebbe's opinion over the Masechta Zvachim, where although other opinions hold that you have to have only machshava of pigel and not any other, even afterwards, Rebbe holds if the first one was pigel, and the second one could be something else, which would be a psul, it's still going to maintain pigel. That the chiddush is, even if you don't say, even if you say and, which you would think to say, okay, then it's one, it's still not going to be one, it's still going to be independent, it's still going to be separate. So that's related to what Rabbi Shmuel are explaining for this halacha, the third halacha of the Braisa, where it's not a contradiction for them, because it's going like Rebbe, who holds that they are going to be considered independent, and that's why it's not only over till the end. You're right. If you didn't know, like Rebbe, and it's saying bazoo, 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 and then it's only going to end at the end, so then Rebbe Ami seemingly would be only correct interpretation, that it's only if there's a gezais b'achrayna, because from the first one, she already ate it up, then it's a milva. And that Rav Shmuel is saying, no, ba'achaz men means the way they explain the Mishnah, means by any one of them. But if she ate it up before he finished the last bazoo, isn't that mekadosh b'milva? No, it's going like Rebbe. Rebbe holds that each one's its own condition, even if he said bazoo, 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 and you're still going and saying bazoo. Doesn't make a difference. It's as if the first hiskachi is saying hiskachi bezu, hiskachi bezu, hiskachi bezu. Doesn't make a difference whether you say and, you don't say and. According to Rebbe, that doesn't make a difference. They're all independent. And therefore, according to Rav and Shmuel, they could still maintain their interpretation on Mishnah that even if this ba'achas men shavapruta, yes, they're definitely not going to combine, especially if you're saying like Rebbe, which they're all independent. That's how they're saying it. They're learning it like Rebbe. Again, not like it can't be all Rebbe, because this middle case said, if you say bazoo, 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 they are going to combine, which obviously is considering it as one big one, not as independent. But then the third halacha of the Braisa, of saying oicheles, which again, we said according to Rabbi Shmuel, is not necessarily oicheles, it could even be manachas, but as they said in the Mishnah, it's just adding an added dimension, which although she ate it, you would think you wouldn't need a shavapruta, but it's the halacha is coming to say Rebbe's opinion, where each one, bazoo, 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 is a separate kedushin, and that's why it's not a milva, because before she ate it, it was its own kedushin, and if any one of them was a shavapruta, therefore she's going to be engaged. Nothing more continues along this theme, this halacha, which came up on the question that we had, which was one of the shmaminos we had from Rabbi Ami's interpretation of our Mishnah, regarding a mekadesh b'milva, regarding if a woman would be engaged with a loan that she owes this man, and he says, I want to engage you with that loan that I gave you. And that the halacha is, as we inferred from Rabbi Ami, from the halacha of our Mishnah, that ain't mukudashes. So that's why Gemara continues on this halacha. Amar Rav. Rav says, Hamakadish b'milva. If a man engages a woman with a loan. Now, specifically when we say a loan is, let's say a few weeks ago, he went and he lent her $100. And then a few weeks later, which was now, he says, I want to engage you. Remember I gave you $100? That $100 I want to be considered kesef kedushin. Now, that's in contrast, which as we learned, and davav, which is regarding what's called hadnois milva, which is if it's regarding the forgiving of the loan, that would be something he would be giving her now. That's a different halacha of hadnois milva. He was talking about hamakadish bin milva. He was engaging her with that monies that he already had given. Now I want those monies to be a moise of kedushin. Says Rav, einem ukedashes. She's not going to be engaged, and that is even if the money is still there, it's still around. If it was spent, so it's not here. What are you going to engage me with? Because we're not saying hadnois milva, meaning the loan itself. But even if the money's still there. And she obviously has to pay it back to him, so the money's dear, and he's saying, okay, here, let that be Moed's Kedushin. She's not engaged, why not? Because Milva Loitzah Nitna, a loan is given to be spent. In other words, the borrower is allowed to go ahead and use it and doesn't have to keep it around in a certain business deal that the money's there, that whenever it's being claimed by the lender, it should be there, that it should be able to be paid back. And since it's what's called lohitzana, and since it's there to be spent, so it's essentially like hers, because even though it's around, it's not his, it's already hers. She's allowed to do whatever she wants with it, and therefore now at this moment, even if the money's still there, and he says, you see those $100, remember? Oh, that was the money I lent you? Let it be moist of Kedushin. He's not giving her anything. There's no Kedushin happening now, which has to be with Kesef, with something that he's giving her, because it's hers. He's not giving her anything at this moment, and therefore it's not a valid Kedushin. Now, that the Gemara says, as it continues for the next daf, Nemi Ketanoi. Let's say that this opinion of Rav is not unilateral, and it's a Machlekes Tanoi. Because we learned in the following Braisa, that says seemingly clearly in this Machlekes, it says, HaMekadosh B'milva, Einu Mekudeshes. The Braisa says, there are those who say that if you get engaged with a Milva, it's not a Kedushin. But V'yeshayim Mekudeshes, there are those who say that it will be a valid Kedushin. Says the Gemara, My La Ba'al Kemilva, isn't this exactly what they're arguing about? The first opinion that says it's not going to be a Kedushin holds that because, yeah, the money's meant to be spent. And therefore, it's not his money, it's her money already. And he's not giving her anything right now. But the Yeshayim hold, it's not meant to be spent. A loan is something that you have to go ahead, and it's still the owner's, and therefore, it's something that he's giving her right now. And therefore, it is a Kedushin. Seemingly, Rav's halacha is totally in the machlokes tanoim. So now the Gemara says, V'tizbra, can you really think that's logical to say that that's what they're arguing about, this halacha of Rav? Because Ema Sefer, look at the end of that brisa. The brisa says, V'shavim b'mecher, that both of these opinions agree regarding a sale, that if let's say a person is selling a person land, which you could acquire with money. So if he tells him, oh, remember I lent you $100, you owe me $100, that $100, let it work for this land that I'm buying from you. And the borrower agrees, he's the seller, he says, okay, you know what? Fine, I'll keep that $100 that I owe you and let that be used for the sale. Says the Braisa, both those opinions agree. Shezeh kana. So the purchaser here, the lender, has acquired it. If the money is still around, that could be used for purchasing the land. Now, says the Gemara, I amrit milvaloit son, and if you would hold that any one of the opinions would hold that a loan is meant to be spent, so the b'mai kani. So then what exactly is the acquisition being happening with? He's not giving him anything. It was his money. Again, if you're saying mechila, that's something else called hanos milva. But the loan itself, if you're saying that that's what they're disputing, and one opinion holds milva leitzon, and that's what the Bryce is discussing, and it's saying, but by mecha they agree that it's going to be a kinyan, how is there going to be a kinyan over there if it's leitzah, and he's not giving him anything? So Rav the Amrav Nachman, he says, Huna Chavrin, our colleague Huna, Maikim la b'mili eichri. He actually explains this brisa in a totally different type of halacha. That when it says being mekadesh a woman with a milva, it doesn't mean a loan of money that she owes him. Rather, v'hacha ma'iskina. What we're discussing over here is kagun she'amar la, where a man tells a woman, hiskat sheli b'mana. He says, here, I have a mana I want to get engaged to you with. Now, he gives her the mana, and she starts counting. V'nimtza mana chasadina. It turns out she's counting. She's like, hey, wait a second. You gave me a mana minus a dinner. So he says, you're right, I'm sorry, I miscalculated. You know, that dinner that I'm missing, I know I promised you to get engaged with that amount, that I owe you. It's called a milva. It's a loan. I owe you as if you lent me that dinner. That's the mekadesh b'milva that we're discussing over here. And that is what the machlekes is. Mar savar kesifa la milsa la misva. One opinion holds that she'd be embarrassed to go ahead and claim that dinner that he, quote, owes her, and therefore she's actually not going to rely on this Kedushin, and therefore she's not a Kedushin because this case of the milva, of this dinner, she's going to be embarrassed. Well, he promised me all this money, gave me this for Kedushin. It's just this little amount that he didn't give me. So therefore she's not going to really be all there in the Kedushin because she's like, I'm not going to really ask him for this, and therefore I'm not really going to get it, and therefore I'm not really being agreeable to this union, and that's why it's not a Kedushin. But the other pin that held that it is a Kedushin held, no, she's not going to be embarrassed. You owe me the dinner, remember? We're engaged now, but you still have to give me the thing. And therefore, she is invested in this Kedushin, and therefore, it's going to be a Kedushin. So it doesn't mean the classic Rav's halacha of Mekadesh B'milva. It means this, quote, loan, which he owes her because he promised her a mana and gave her a mana minus the dinner. And it's regarding a mecher, where they both agree that, of course, it's going to be a Kenyan, because no buyer is going to be embarrassed. No seller is going to be embarrassed to go ahead, hey, wait a second, there's a chasid dinner that you owe me that's that. Therefore, there everyone's going to agree that it's a kinyan, but it's not talking about a halacha of an actual loan. Where there, everyone is would hold like Rav that milva lahitzon. No, where of course, if it's given to the person, you're not giving him anything at this moment. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but ve'elohadam Rav Elazar, if that's the interpretation as Rav Huna had said in this brisa, and therefore it's nothing to do with Rav's halacha. But then this, the Rav Elazar had said, hiskachli b'mana, if a man tells a woman, I want you to be engaged to me with a mana. V'nasan la dinner, instead of giving a mana, he gave her just a dinner. So Rav Elazar said, ha'rezu mukadashas, so she's engaged, even though he barely gave her what he had promised her. But v'yashlam, and he'll supplement, it, he'll complement what he owes her the rest. Says the Gemara, lemi katanoi amar l'shmaita. Similarly, the way Rav Huna explained the brisa, Rav Elazar's halacha is tali namachloik is tanoim. Because here we have similarly the same thing, where he didn't give her everything he promised her, and that's what they said, the machlekes is she soymech das or not? Yet Rabbi Elazar said that she is soymech das, and it is a kedushin. Similarly, it's a machlekes tanoim. So Amri, they said that no. Mana chasa dinner, when he gives her a mana, he gives her basically the whole thing minus a dinner, that ksifala milsala misve. There she's going to be embarrassed to go ahead and claim it from him, because that's just a little bit. Because a dinner from a mana is a little bit that's missing. But the case of Rabbi Elazar, where from the whole mana he only gave her a dinner, so that's a mana chaser tishim b'tesha, there's 100 of them in a mana, where he only gave her 1 out of 100, missing 99 of them, like Sivala Milsa, she's not going to be embarrassed, limited to go ahead and claim it from him, because if he gave me 100 minus 1, you gave me 99, okay, I'm going to be embarrassed. And I'm going to be embarrassed, I'm not going to go for that 1, you're going to think I'm this, you know, clean Kapeldick, small-minded. So I'm not going to go ask for it, but therefore I'm not engaged. That was what they were discussing. But Rabbi Elazar's halacha, we gave her 1 out of 100. Of course she's going to have said, you owe me the rest of 99. And that's what, according to everyone, they would agree to Rabbi Elazar's halacha, that in that case, it would be a kedushin, and she would then go ahead later and go claim it from him, and he would supplement what he had promised her to create the kedushin. Now the Gemara continues asking on Rav's halacha of Mekadesh B'milva in the Mekudeshes. Meisvei, we learn in the Brisa as follows. If a man tells a woman, he says, look, remember I gave you a deposit, the man tells the woman, I gave you that watch as a deposit to watch for me. So that pekodin that you're watching for me, I want you to go ahead and take it to be a kedushin. Now she goes, she's all excited, now she gets to keep it, I'm engaged to this man, that's my kedushin. She goes and she finds that it was stolen or lost. So says the Braisa, im nishtai hamen ashava pruta mekudeshes. If at least ashava pruta's worth of it remained, so that's the minimum that you need for a kedushin, and therefore she's going to be engaged. Now, vimlav ein mekudeshes, but if even ashava pruta is not around anymore, it was all stolen or lost, then of course not going to be a kedushin because there's nothing here for him to engage her with. Says the Braisa, uba milva, now regarding a loan, let's say he had lent her $100, and he says, oh, you know that money that I lent you? You could use it for kedushin. Says the Braisa, afa peshaloi nishtar hemen ashava pruta, even if there's not even a pruta's worth of the loan left, mikudeshes, she's still going to be engaged. Now, the reason being is, why? How would that be a kedushin? There's not even anything left over here. As Rashi says, it's that hanah, that pleasure, which we call hanah's milva, where he said, you don't have to pay me back. So even though she lost all the money, so she can't even use what she had borrowed, but at least she doesn't have to pay him back the $100 or whatever it is that she had borrowed from him. So it's that hana of the milva that she's going to be engaged with. He says that no, milva alone, as we continue in Talmud Beis, harehi kipa kodin. It's like a deposit, which is only if there's something there, there's some of the money of the loan there, then it's going to be a kedushin. But if there's nothing left, he held that that's not going to create a kedushin. But the primary point that Gemara is asking from this price is ad kan loy pligi. But so where do we have the machlekes in this brisa? Is Ela Demar Savar, one opinion holds, that milva, which is the opinion of the Tanakama, avagav dele nishtarim in the shavapruta, even if there isn't a shavapruta left over, it's still going to create a condition because that's what's called hanos milva. The fact that she doesn't have to pay back, even though there's nothing here, is going to create a condition. Umasav in nishtarim in the shavapruta in, whereas the second opinion held that, no, he disagreed with this premise, which is, it's only if there's something there that could create a kedushin. But if there's not even a shava pruta, even though it's a milva that she doesn't have to pay back anymore, still that's not going to create a kedushin. Fine, that's what they disagree about. But seemingly they all agree, mikadesh b'milva, that if he engages her with the loan when it is extant, when it is still there, they're disagreeing regarding when it's not there. Fine. But if it is there, Mikudashas, they're both going to agree that it's going to create a Kedushin. They're both not like Rav. Rav had said Mekadosh B'milva, even if it's there, it's not a Kedushin because Milva loitzon it. Here, similarly, we have both opinions of the Tanoim that hold that when you make Mekadosh B'milva that is there, that it is going to create a Kedushin. So Amalei Rav, Rav has said that V'tizbara, do you really think Hometaretzta, that this Brisa is a correct Brisa, that there's no mistakes, there's no error in this Brisa? Where, again, we're asking from the Brisa that said that by Milva, and the Tanakhama said that even though there's nothing of the Milva left, forget about asking on Rav, it said even further, it said with Afapi Shaloi Nishtar, even though there's nothing left, Mekudesh is going to create a Kedushin, says Rav, HaMishtabeshtihi. That is definitely an error, and therefore you can't ask from an erroneous Brisa on Rav. And he proves why there's an error in this Brisa. Hypekodin Hechidam, he says, the halacha of the Brisa talks about a deposit. What is the case? What's the conceptualization of that case? As Rav explains. Says either Kabbalah la'achray is, if it's talking about that she took responsibilities, many different types of shemrim, of people that watch a deposit, shemachinim, shemasacha, naisasacha, ashoyel, what type of a watchman are we talking about that the woman was for this deposit of this man's object? In other words, if it's talking about either Kabbalah la'achray, if it's talking about that she took responsibility, where if it gets stolen, that she's going to pay him back, well then, hainu milva, then that's seemingly the same exact as the case of the loan. Because once it gets stolen, she becomes liable, she becomes responsible. So now that money, that the deposit, which is lost now, what is that money by her? It's a loan. She owes that money to him. Now, since the Tanakhama said, regarding a loan, that afa pishaloi nishtar mukadeshes, even though when there's no money around, it's going to create a kedushin, because that's money that she owes him. Oh, and now that he's forgiving it, that Hanos Milva is going to create a Kedushin. So why did the Tanakhama say by Pekadin, when there's nothing left, that it's not going to create a Kedushin? Why? It should be the same thing as Milva. Because once it's stolen, which is what we're talking about, it's Loi Nishtar, nothing's left over, then it should be just like a Milva, which is, it should create a Kedushin. Why does he say that by Pekadin, there has to be a Shir, there has to be at least a Shavaputa left over? Now, an idoloi kobalachrais, and if you can then have to say that, so the case of the deposit is when she didn't accept responsibility, and therefore when it gets stolen, she's not liable. But the inference would be that if she did accept responsibility, that it would create a kedushin. Well, then ihachi, if that's the case, adetani sefer, then instead of the second case of the Tanakhama saying that it would be milva that regarding a loan, afa pishul in the shtar men the shavaprut mukadeshes, where he said that was a contrast. By Pekadni says it has to be a shavaprut left over. By Milva, he said that even though it's not a Shavaprut leftover, she's going to be Mukadeshes. Then why go to Milva? Niflik v'nisni b'didas. The Gemara asked this many times in Shas. You should have made a differentiation in the case of the ratio itself of Pekadin itself. Because you could find the case by Pekadin, by deposit, that even if there is nothing left over, that it would create a Kedushin. How so? The Tanakhama should have said as follows. It should have said, when did I say in my first case by Pekadin that it's only going to be Kedushin if there's at least a Shavaputa left over? It should like Kiblo Le'achrayis, if there was no accepting of responsibility. So therefore, when it gets lost and stolen, there's nothing here. He's not giving her anything because she wasn't liable for it, to say that I'm forgiving you of what's left of what was stolen. So then is where it has to be a Shavaputa left over. So if there's something left over, that will be used for the Kedushin. Aval, but the Tanakhama should have said, Kiblo Le'achrayis, but if she accepted responsibility for the deposit, then even if there isn't a Shavaputa left over, it would create a Kedushin. So David says, Rava, this Brisa is difficult. It must be an error. Because whichever way you look at it, it's challenging. Because how do we understand this case of Pekadin? If she took responsibility, then it's the same case as Milva. Now why is there a discrepancy between their two halachas? And even if it's Toma where she didn't accept responsibility, and if we understand the discrepancy, then why go from Pekadin to Milva? Just go from Pekadin, which didn't have responsibility, to Pekadin that did have responsibility, and say even in that case, forget about going to Milva, that even if there's nothing left over, it will create a Kedushin. So Ella rather says Rava, obviously, and this is how he now has a new interpretation of the Brisa, so where obviously it's not going to be difficult on Rav anymore, says that must be that the deposit that we're told about him, the Brisa, is when she had accepted upon herself responsibility. Where, yes, as the Brisa had said, that if there's nothing left over, it's not going to create a Kedushin, because she had accepted responsibility and now it's a Milva, and because like Rav had said, HaMakadosh B'Milva is Einu Mukadeshes. If you engage a woman with a loan, she's not going to be engaged. Now, if there's something left over, so with that left over, she'll become engaged of that deposit. Now, regarding the second case of the brisa, regarding a loan, says Rava Toreitz Hachi, you have to have a different girsa, a different text, and you have to read it as follows. And actually, it's the opposite of what it was read originally, because Rava said, obviously, there's a mistake in here. You have to change the wording. Ubenova and the Tanakam had said regarding a loan, Ava Pishanish Dairim and the Shavu Prudah, the exact opposite. That even if there is a Shavu Prudah left over, not like the way we had read it, that even when it's not. Here it's saying that even if it is left a Shavu Prudah over, that Eina Mukadeshes. She's not going to be engaged, because like Ravat said, Milvaloit Sal Nitna, a loan is meant to be spent, and therefore even if it is here, it's still not going to create a Kedushin. Now that Ripshim Ben Elazar Eimer, Mishum Rebmeir, then Milvah Rei Kibukadin. And that he disputed the Tanakam, and he said that a loan is like a deposit, which seemingly that means to say that it's only like the case of the deposit, where if there's something of a Shavu Prudah left over, which wasn't stolen or lost, then it's going to create a Kedushin, and so too by a Milva, it's only going to be a Kedushin if there's at least a Shavu Prudah left over. Now that the Gemara asked, but my Kemifiki, but it's still difficult on Rav. So we answered it from the case of the Tanakam, where obviously the Tanakam is not difficult, because, as we said, it must be a mistake, and he holds that milvah is never going to work, even when it is a Shavu Prudah. But how do we understand this opinion of Reb Shimon Laws in the name of Reb Meir? Because if they're arguing, seemingly, in if milvah is laitza nitna or not, because that sounds like what Reb Shimon Laws is saying, where he says that it's like pekadon. What does that mean, it's like pekadon? Which means to say that if there is a Shavu Prudah around, it will create a kedushin. Sounds like because he holds Milva's lav leitzah nitna, because it was leitzah nitna, then it should be like the Tanakama. Even if there's Shavu Prudah around, like the Pekadon, it shouldn't be a Kedushin. So then, still there's difficulty on Rav, it's not difficult from both opinions, but still it's going to be seemingly a machlokes tanoim, where Reb Shimon Laws is going to disagree with Rav's halacha and say that Milva is not leitzah nitna, and therefore if there's at least a Shavu Prudah like Pekadon, it will create a Kedushin. So I'm a Rabbi. Rabbi said, Ashka chesinu l'rabbanan bebei Rav. It says, I encountered the yeshiva, the students in the base of Medrash, which as Rashi says, that wherever it says bebei Rav, it doesn't mean, although here we're discussing Rav's halacha, the base Medrash of Rav, it just means in the base of Medrash, in the study hall. So he says, I encountered the students in the study hall, the yasvi v'kame, that they were sitting and they were saying that truth is that everyone agrees to Rav. Even Rabbi Shimon Laws in the name of Rabbi Meir, that a milva is lohayt sanetna. A loan is meant to be spent. Now, therefore, if let's say she already went and took from those monies at least a Shavu Prudah, so let's say lent her $100, if she went and took a dollar from that, something at least worth a Shavu Prudah, she's already acquired them, and the original owners cannot retract, and it's going to be considered a milva, and therefore, even if there's, let's say, $50 still there, and he says, I want to be Mekadeshi with that, it's not going to be a Kedushin, even if the majority of the money is still extant. But here we're discussing specifically, said the yeshiva bachram, said the students in yeshiva, that where she hadn't spent any of the money of the loan yet. He gave her the money in the sealed envelope, and it was still in her drawer. Now, as they said, b'milva b'shus b'ilam, we're talking about regarding a loan, if it's in the domain of the original owner, l'chazara, for retracting, v'hu adin lo'insin k'mifugi, and also in regards to who is the responsibility of the liability when it's beyond one person's control that something happened to those monies? That's what the dispute was between the Tanakama and Reb Meir. The Marasava, Tanakama held, Milva Bishus Leibakaima, no matter what the situation, if she started using the money, everyone agrees it's Laitzan. And everyone agrees to Rav Zalacha. But if it wasn't even touched, that's the machlekes. The Tanakama holds, even if it wasn't touched, the loan is considered in the domain of the borrower. And b'hu adin lo'insin, so therefore the lender cannot retract. He says, I want to get my money back. So, no, you already gave it to me. So chazara he can't do. And so too for liabilities, the loiva becomes automatically responsible for the einsin, even if he didn't touch it yet. Umar savabad, Reb Shimon Laws, in the name of Reb Meir, he held that milva b'shus b'ilam kam. If it wasn't touched yet, then it's considered in the domain of the owner. So he could still retract and says, you know what, you didn't take it yet, you didn't touch any of it, I'm taking it back. And so too regarding Einsim, that the liability is still with the lender and not with the borrower yet. That's why Shimon Laza said, Mikudashis, that she's going to be engaged because he held that a milva, a loan which is to all of it be'en, none of it was spent, then it's still a b'shus b'ilam, it's still in the domain of the original owner, which was the man over here to retract. If he wants to come and to take it back, he could take it back. So therefore, now what he's saying, I want to be Mekadesh you with this milva, which you still have. So he's giving that to her now because it was still in his domain. And so too regarding Einzin, it was all in his Rishus, because if anything would have happened, he or she, the borrower, would have been exempt. So therefore, that's how the Gemara explains for Rav, whereas Tais elaborates on this a little bit more. He says that Rav that said that if someone's Mekadesh with a milva, it's not Mekadeshes. It's talking about a milva which she started spending money from it already. Now, it's regarding Veer, where Rav says that she's not going to be engaged, even if there's a Shavah put the leftover. Now, Reb Shimon Lazar agrees to that. Reb Shimon Lazar is only talking about a milva which is totally ba'en. None of it was spent of it yet. That's the machlekes that he has with the Tanakhama. Now, Tosfos points out the obvious question. Although in Reb Shimon's statement, he used the words im nishtari shavah protam mekadeshes, that if there's at least a shavah protam left over, she's engaged, which sounds like even though she had already started spending the money, doesn't make a difference if there's at least a shavah protam left over, like Bekotten or Kredit Kedushin, which we're saying is not so. Says Tosfos that no, Reb Shimon Lazar is going on, which was the case that it was being described, which was shenignubu aisha avdu, where he had said, I want you to be engaged with the money I had given you, and she finds out that it was stolen or lost. That's what the halacha is. If she didn't touch the monies yet, then the halacha is going to be, if there's at least a shavah pruta, then it's still something that he's giving her now, because he holds, if she didn't touch it yet, it's not considered b'shus loiva yet, and it wasn't considered loitza. But of course, Reb Shimon Lazar would agree to Rav's halacha, she had already started spending the money, then it's going to be considered a milva, and a milva is loitza, and therefore that's not going to be a kedushin different. None of these opinions are difficult on Rav. Now, that's what Rabba said, that he heard the yeshiva students saying over to explain the Braisa why it's not difficult on the Rav. Now, says Rabba, I said to the Talmidim, lo'ainsim kula amalei pligi. He says, no, regarding, there's one point he says I would differ, is that regarding liability of things beyond one's control, if something happens to it, there, no one would disagree. The b'shus leiva kaimi. That's considered in the domain of the borrower, even if Shimon Lazar would agree to that. Mike Tamer, what's the reason? Because legar mishela, it's not any less than the responsibilities of a borrower. Where masheela the hajr be'ena, there's a difference between two types of borrowing. Borrowing money and borrowing an object. Borrowing money, it's meant to be spent, and you give back other monies. Borrowing an object is just to use the object, but you have to give back the object itself. So if by borrowing, where you have to give back the object itself, chayv ba'insin, and yet you're still responsible, as the Torah says, regarding if something even beyond your control happens to it and it breaks, you have to pay for it. So milva lekashkin, isn't it a kal v'chomer for a loan, where there, the halacha is that you could actually use it and spend it, and still even if you didn't, and therefore it's be'en, and yeah, even if you're saying it's b'shus demara, it's still in the owner's domain regarding retracting, but that's the same thing regarding something that was lent to you, an object, where it's also b'shus demara, you have to give it back be'en, but still you're responsible for einzin. So therefore it says, Rabbah, that of course everyone would agree regarding einzin, the bar would be responsible. Elahacha, but rather here, what they are disagreeing is milva b'shus b'ayim l'chazar k'binayu. The only difference between them would be regarding retracting. That is, the Tanakhama holds, even if it wasn't spent yet, any money of it, still it's already considered b'shus of the woman, and therefore it's a milva, and it's leitzan, and therefore cannot create a kedushin, even if there's, all of it is still around. Whereas Reb Shimon Lazar held, if it wasn't touched yet, then the owner could still retract, and therefore, he's giving her that money right now, so if there's at least a shavah prut of the money left over from what was stolen, and she didn't yet touch the money yet, it's like he's giving her that now, and therefore it's going to create a kedushin. Now, but based on this interpretation of what Rabbah had said, but then the Gemara asks, ve'lahod amar Rav Huna, but then this that Rav Huna had said, hashoyel karda mechaver, if someone borrows a hatchet from his friend, only for 10 days. So the halacha is, if bika boy, if the person had already started chopping with that hatchet, so then that's a chazaka. In other words, you had already taken possession of the utility of it for the 10 days that you were borrowing it, so then kanoi, then that borrower has acquired it, and the lender can't retract, because, no, you lent it from me for 10 days, we made up that, and I already started using it. But loy bika boy loy kanoi, if he didn't yet start using it, then he hasn't acquired it, and then the lender could retract and say, okay, I want my hatchet back. So that was the halacha Rav Huna. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi's interpretation of this machlekes in the Braisa, seemingly it's totally in a machlekes tanoim, where according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the name of Remeir, that if you started using the hatchet, you acquired it. If you didn't start using it, you hadn't acquired it, because that was exactly what he said regarding the milva, regarding the loan. If you started using the money, oh, then it's yours. If you didn't, then not. But according to Tanakama, seemingly, even if you didn't start using the hatchet, still, it should be considered that you acquired it. Because as we said, that when something was lent, it's already automatically in the rishus of the borrower, and the lender can't retract. But Rav Huna said that he could if it wasn't used. So seemingly, he's only like Rav Shimon Laza, and not like Tanna Kamma. So the Gemara says, Loi, no. Ad kan loy pligi el b'milva. The machlekes in that braisa was regarding a loan. The lahadra be'ena, a loan is something of money where you don't give back the original monies back to the lender. Therefore, since the borrower is allowed to use it for whatever business dealing he wants to, so the Tanna Kamma held immediately it's considered in his domain, and he doesn't, and the lender can never retract even if it wasn't used yet by the borrower. Because for that is why he lent it, that he should not to get back those original monies, rather to get back other monies. But regarding lending an object, where you have to get back the original object, there everyone would agree, even the Tanna Kamma, that bika by in loy bika by loy kan. Only if you had used it, then you have acquired it. But if not, since you have to give back this original hatchet, then and you didn't even use it, then he could go ahead and retract. But what the Tanna Kamma was disagreeing buying a loan was even though you didn't use it, but since intrinsically that's what a loan is, lahitza, and therefore they held that even if it wasn't used, then he could not retract. But that's not difficult on Rav Huna, who's talking about an actual loan of an object, not a loan of money. So the Gemara continues inquiring regarding this halacha of Rav and says, Nima, let's say that this halacha of Rav, that he says if someone's a Mekadesh B'milva, if he had lent a woman money, and he says, remember that money I lent you? I want that to be kedushin money for you. That's not a kedushin. Let's say it's machloik is tanoim in the following braisa. The braisa says, if a man says to a woman, hiskacheli b'shtar chayv, I want you to be engaged to me with this document of debt, which generally that's interpreted as that someone, there's a deed that someone owes him $1,000. Says here, you could take this deed, and now it's owed to you. If let's say he had a loan in someone else's hands, meaning someone else owed him $1,000. And Vahir Shalem, and he writes a harsha, which gives her permission to collect that loan, and he gives it to her. Now she has that $1,000 to collect from that person. Says the Braisa, Remeyo Emin Mekudeshes. Mary says that's going to create a Kedushin. Vachacham in the Mekudeshes, Chacham say it's not going to be a Kedushin. That's Machlekes in the Braisa. Says the Gemara, in way of explanation to seemingly that it's Machlekes in Rav Salacha, says, Hayshtar Chayv Heichidami. What is this case that the first case, there's two cases, Hashtar Chayv, and there was a Milva B'Yadachem. What is this document of debt that they're talking about? Says the Gemara, Ile Mishtar Chayv Da'Acherim, if it would be seemingly as the general interpretation would be, that it means to say a document of a debt of other people, where someone owes him $1,000 and now he's giving it to the woman. So on that, the Gemara asks, how can you say that's the case? Hainu Milva B'Yadachem. But that's essentially the same thing as the next case, which is a loan that he has in other people's hands that someone owes him $1,000. So what would be the difference between that seemingly the same case? El Alav rather says, the Gemara must be shtar chayv dida. So if it must be talking about when it says that he's giving her shtar chayv, he's giving her her own deed of a debt. I mean, you remember you borrowed $1,000 from me 3 weeks ago? Takes out the document. Here, this woman's name owes this man $1,000. He takes it out. And he gives her her own deed. Now, what's he giving her? Umekadesh bin milva ki miflegi. So what are they disputing over there, machlekes Rav Meir and the Chacham, if it's Kedushin or not, is when he's being engaging her with her own loan. That's the machlekes, if it's going to be Kedushin or not. So similarly, Rav Salach is a machlekes tanoim when he's mekadesh her with her own loan, that he's now giving her the deed, that he doesn't have to, that he's saying, I want to be mekadesh with that milva. So the Gemara says, no. Lo ilim shtar chayv da'acher. Truthfully, we're talking about, as we had assumed originally, that's talking about a deed of a debt that's owed from other people to him that he's giving her. Now, then the question was, that's the same thing as the next case. Says the Gemara, you're right. V'hacha b'milva b'shtar, u'b'milva apek k'mifli. There's two different machlekesin that Rav Meir and the Chacham are having over here regarding when he's giving her a debt that someone else owes him. He's giving that to her now. There's going to be, as the Gemara will explain, there are two different machlekesin, although seemingly they seem like the same type of case where it's something that someone owes him. But one is talking about a case of a loan in the document, which is the case of shtar chayv that he's giving her. And the other one is a milva peh, is an oral loan that he's now handing over to her the rights to that oral loan. And since, as the Gemara will explain, they're fundamentally different machlekesin, that's why it says both of those cases. As the Gemara explains first, four different interpretations, the milva b'shtar b'may pligi. So what is their machlokes regarding when he's giving her a debt of a document of a loan that he's giving it to, what's the machlokes if that's going to create a kedushin or not? Says the Gemara, beplukta the Rebbe v'Rabbanu kemifkli. They're arguing regarding the following machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanu. The time like Linda Brisa, oisiyos, which literally means to say letters, which means to say the letters, the words of a document, are niknis b'mesira. They can be acquired with handing it over. Divi Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. In other words, you don't have to write shtar mechira. Let's say someone has a document, a deed of $1,000 that someone owes him. Now, he doesn't know when he's going to be able to collect that. So he's saying, you know what? He goes to someone else and says, hey, this guy owes me $1,000. I'll sell it to you for $500. And the guy says, great. I don't mind waiting till it matures. I'll buy it for you for $500. So there's a machlekes regarding what's necessary for the lekech, the purchaser, to acquire that debt. Rebbe holds that you don't have to write a shtar mechira, a new document of sale of this document that he's selling him. Rather, from the moment he gives him that document, that the other one owes him that money, he has immediately acquired that, and now the borrower has to go ahead and pay that guy just by the virtue of giving over the document of the deed to that person. He has acquired it. He doesn't have to write a document of sale of that document. The Chum disagree. They say no. Bein shekasev, whether the owner of the deed wrote for that person a shtar mechira, a document of sale of that document, v'loy maser, but he didn't give him over the actual deed itself, or the other way, bein shemaser, or whether he gave him the shtar chayev, v'loy kasev, but he didn't write for him a shtar mechira on it, say the Chum loy kana, he hasn't acquired it, at sheyichte v'yimser. You have to write for him a shtar mechira of that document, meaning that should make the kinyan. And additionally, you have to give him over that shtar chayiv that he has that now in his possession. So that's the machlekes in the brisa. Says the Gemara, that's the machlekes for Meir and the Chacham in this brisa. Ma, Reb Meir isli de Rebbe. He holds like Rebbe. And therefore here also where he had given her, he's giving her the shtar chayiv, where he didn't write a shtar mechira on that shtar chayiv. So according to Reb Shimon Lazar, Reb Meir, who holds that it's going to be a Kedushin, is because he holds like Rebbe, where just giving her the Shtar Chayv is going to create a Kedushin. Umar, less like the Rebbe. Regarding the Rabbana who hold that it's not going to be a Kedushin, is because they don't hold like Rebbe. And just giving her the Shtar Chayv is not going to create a Kedushin. You have to write a Shtar Mechira on that Shtar Chayv. That's one interpretation in their Machlek is of why a Shtar Chayv is going to be a Kedushin or not. V'boy Seyma, or if you want, you could say a second interpretation. The Kula Amma less Lahud Rebbe, that truthfully, both opinions do not agree to Rebbe. And therefore, they agree to the Chacham, that's the case that the Brice is talking about, where he gave her over the Shtar Chayv, and he also wrote a Shtar Mechira on that Shtar Chayv. But when he wrote her that Shtar, he wrote Kani Lach Hai Shtar. He wrote, I want you to acquire, on the Shtar Mechira, which was a new document to write how he's giving her this document, he wrote, acquire this document. He did not write that you should acquire all the shibudim, all the indebtedness that there is in this document of the Shtar Chayiv, where that's their machlekes. Where, because v'hacha b'dir ha'papa k'mifli, they're disagreeing regarding the halacha of Rapapa. Dam Rapapa, because Rapapa had said, Hayman dezavin shtar l'chavri, if someone sells a document to his friend, so tzorach l'michtiv, he has to write for him on that Shtar Mechira, regarding the Shtar Chayiv that he's selling him, kani l'chu v'chol shibude. You should acquire this document and all its indebtedness, all the liens that it acquires. So, and here they didn't write that part. So Mar, the Rabbanan that said that it's not going to be Kedushin, Isle the Rab Papa, they hold like Rab Papa. So since you didn't write V'chol Shibude, so therefore you're not acquiring all the Shibudim, and therefore she hasn't acquired, and therefore it's not a Kedushin, because now she doesn't have the Shibudim on that Leiva, on that Bar. Whereas Mar, less the Rab Papa, doesn't hold like that Lach Rab Papa. And therefore, since they hold that, as long as you do the Mesira of the Shtar Chayiv and you write a Shtar Mechira on it, you don't have to write B'chol Shibudeh. The Rameir says it's going to be a Kedushin. Or if you want, you could say a third interpretation in the Machlekes of what's the Salacha of Shtar Chayiv is the Kulama Islo Rav Papa. That really everyone agrees to Rav Papa, and therefore when Rameir is saying over here in this Salacha that it's going to create a Kedushin is where he wrote for her that Kani Lachu B'chol Shibudeh. But V'hacha B'dishmul K'miflugi, they're disputing in the Halacha of Shmuel. Dama Shmuel that Shmuel said as we continue to talk about Aleph, he says, "Hamoicher shtar chayv lechaver." If someone sells a document of a debt to his friend, the chazru mechalai. So now that person, where in our cases, where now the woman has the debt owed to them from that borrower who borrowed from this man. Then, after it was sold, the original, the lender, forgives that loan to the borrower who he sold already the debt of that to someone else. Says Shmuel, machl, it's forgiven. And he says even the inheritor of the lender, not even the lender himself, could be machl, could forgive it. That is because the borrower was never liable to pay to the purchaser anything. It was only because of the seller who sold it to that loker. Now that person was forgiving of the loan. So therefore it's going to be mechila. So that's what they were disputing. Demar, the Rabbanon, Isle de Shmuel, they hold like Shmuel. Umar, Lesle de Shmuel, and Remeir does not hold like the halach of Shmuel. Now, since Remeir does not hold like the halach of Shmuel, so the woman who receives the shtar chayv for Kedushin, she relies on it to collect with it, and therefore it's real money, and therefore she's acquiring herself as a wife for that. And because she's not concerned that maybe he's going to go and be meichlid, because Remeir doesn't hold like Shmuel. He cannot be meichlid. You already sold it off to me. But the Rabbanu who hold like Shmuel, therefore she's not semech das. She's not relying on this. She's never really agreeing to be engaged. Because she thinks, he's saying he'll be engaged me with this $1,000. And a few days later, this big good buddy of his, he's going to forgive it, and I'm stuck without anything. So therefore, that's why the Rabbanu held it's not a Kedushin, and Remeir held it is a Kedushin. Or the Iba Yisema, a fourth interpretation is, the Kulama Islu de Shmuel, that everyone agrees to Shmuel that if he wants, he could go ahead and forgive the loan. But Vahacha Be'isha Kemiflagi. Here, the Machlekes is because they're talking about a woman, a wife. In other words, you're right. If he was acquiring to someone land with the value of this document, for sure the lender would not acquire the land because the seller would not rely on this document because he knows that any second this guy could go and forgive it. So what's this worth to me? But their Machlekes is regarding a woman that's being taken in marriage. Where Marsav, where Meir held, Isha Samcha Daita, a woman will rely on this money. And she'll agree to get engaged for it. Because Meima Amr, she'll say that since I'm becoming his wife, he's not going to leave me just hanging because forgiving all this thing and forgive his good friend. Because I'm his wife now. I'm his Ezer connected. I'm his better half. And therefore, says the mayor, she's going to be engaged because she'll rely on it. Because although halachically he could forgive it, he's not going to do that. What, that's the way you start off a marriage? Of course he's not going to do that. Umar Sava, but the Rabban hold that no, Isha Nami Lisam Chadaita. A woman is insecure in this and she's not going to think. She's going to think maybe he's going to go ahead and forgive it to his good friend and I'm not going to really have anything and therefore she's not really agreeable to it and therefore it's not going to create a Kedushin. That's the first machloikis they have regarding the Shtar Chayiv case, which was the Milva Bishtar. Now, then the Gemara continues. So what was B'milva al Pemai B'mai Peligi? Because originally we had thought that this would be a difficulty on Rav, because similarly the case of Shtar Chayiv we thought was her own Shtar Chayiv, and we see the disputing the halacha of the Mekadosh B'milva, and that we said, no, it's a Milva B'shtar of another person. So we said, because we're saying both cases, a Milva B'shtar and Milva al Pe, because there are two different Machlekes. Milva B'shtar, we explained four different ways that the Machlekes could be. Now the Gemara says, "B'milva apeh b'may pligi." What is the machlekes Rabban or Meir regarding if he wants to engage her with an oral loan that someone owes him that he's giving her the rights to now? So now the Gemara says, "But Rav Huna Amar Rav." They're arguing in regards to halacha of Rav Huna, who said the name of Rav. Am Rav Huna Amar Rav. He says, "Mana li b'yadcha." If someone tells to someone else, "There's a mana of mine that you have. You owe me a mana. Tenei ulaplani. Give it to that guy." Now he tells this to him, b'may mitshlashten, in the presence of three people. So on that, says Rav Huna Marav, kana. So now that third person has acquired it, even without any kin having been done. Which, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Skittin, there's no real reason for this halacha. It's one of the three things that the Rabbanan made, what's called the Hilchas HaBalei Taimi, as Taisa there explains, there's a reason why they did it, but in the mechanism, how it functions, there really is no halachic understanding underpinning how it works. If there's no kinyan being done over here just by verbalizing, I want this guy to get it, it's as if he has already acquired it. But that's the halacha of Maimich Lashon. Now, it's regarding that parameter of the halacha that they were disputing in this brisa regarding this milva alpeh, which again is not with a document, it's just with the oral, you have this thing, I want you to give it to this person. Marsav the Rabbanan held that Akikam Rav. When did Rav say this halacha? My mitzlashton, hanimili bipekadon. That's only by a deposit which is visible. So therefore, the one who's receiving it relies on it because they see it there. So that's why it's going to work. Avol milvolai. But regarding a loan, you cannot create a kinyan even with my mitzlashton when it's not around. Because although you say, oh, that thing that you have of mine, I want you to give it to that person. The guy's like, what? I don't see any mana. I'm not relying on getting it, and therefore it's not going to be a kinyan, and that's why they say in the halacha of our brisa that when he's giving her over a milvah peh, even though it's b'mayim mitshlashin, it's not going to create a kedushin because that's not halachically going to work. If the object is there, then the person's semichdas, that could already create the acquisition in the makabel. But Amar Sava, Reb Meir held loishna milva v'loishna bekadin. He held there's no difference in the halach of mayim mitshlashin. As the Gemara there discusses the same machlekes regarding if it's just by deposit, same thing halacha would be even by a loan, even if it's not be'en, even if it's not around. Still, if you're doing it by ma'amid shloshtan with all three parties there, and he says, that which I have, I want you to give to that person. So this bar of his, he says, in front of this woman, he says, I want to engage her, the mana that you owe me, I want you to give to her. Says Reb Meir, that is halacha, ma'amid shloshtan, she will acquire it, and therefore it's as she already has it, and therefore that's a valid kedushin. That's the machlekes between Reb Meir and Rabbanan. That's why we have these two halachas of milva, of a milva b'shtar and the milva al peh, because they're two different fundamental halachas. Again, milva b'shtar had four different ways of saying it. Milva al peh has its own machlokes regarding a case of mayim mitshlashin. But again, it's not difficult on Rav because they're not discussing the case of shtar chayiv, the woman's own shtar chayiv, because everyone would agree if it's her own shtar chayiv, it's her own milva, that a mekadesh b'milva is eina mekudeshes, because milva is loy tzon nidna.